Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Crash, boom, bang. All noises that may send your dog running for cover under your bed. A dog's hearing is quite different from ours. They can hear sounds four times farther away than we can, hear higher pitched sounds that are undetectable to the human ear, and their extremely movable ears help them hone in on the origin of auditory reverberations. We need to move our entire head to better echolocate. Loud noises such as thunder and fireworks can be very scary for your canine companion. A frightened dog can cause itself great bodily harm trying to escape the sonic terrors and great angst for their owners. Making your dog less noise phobic has typically involved sound desensitization or heavily sedating your dog. Now there's a breakthrough medication that won't make the sound any less obnoxious, but can allow your dog to better deal with the auditory insult. Dr. Sharon Campbell is a diplomate of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine and one of the technical veterinarians for Zoetis. We'll be discussing noise aversion and a new medication available to treat it. So sit tight, we'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's hard to find time for your furry family member. That's where Camp Bow Wow comes in. All-day play and overnight camp, daycare and boarding for dogs. Everything is included. Large play areas for fun and exercise. Spacious cabins, comfy cots, even live camper cams to watch from a computer or smartphone. Camp Bow Wow offers the best care and is the place to go where a dog can be a dog. For locations and more information, visit campbowwow.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Campbell, thank you very much for being with us. I always like my listeners to know a little bit about who I'm speaking with. So give me a bit of a background of how you came to be at Zoetis and what exactly is an internal medicine specialist?
Sure. So I am a veterinarian, and then I've gone on to do additional training, which is similar to humans that go on to do a residency program. In my case, I did it in veterinary internal medicine, which was another 3 years of study beyond the typical 4 years of veterinary school.
You like school to do three more years after that very tough four.
Yes, well, it is a very exciting area to be involved with, and I felt like I really needed to get more knowledge to specialize, because my love really is working in internal medicine and dealing with a lot of the medical problems versus the surgical problems that dogs and cats and little small rodents and all different animals may have. And so basically, it is very similar to in human medicine, where we do have various specialties in surgery, cardiology, neurology. In my particular case, I'm important in small animal internal medicine.
And now we're talking about something that I think everyone has noticed in their dogs, noise aversion. Sometimes it's just a dog that seems to perk up its ears and not really too sure about it, and some that literally will go through plate glass windows. Why do some dogs seem to be more sensitive than others?
That's a great question, Bernadine, and I think that we don't really know the answer. We do know that some environmental triggers can be inciting. We also know that there may be some genetic predisposition. And with the environmental, for some noises, early exposure to noise may actually protect the dog from becoming noise averse. However, if other noises, if they don't get early exposure to it, it may actually predispose. And we're still trying to work all of that out. One really curious way that dogs can develop noise aversion is through a mechanism called social transmission. And this, to me, is rather fascinating. And to describe what that is, it's basically when you have two dogs in a household and one dog has noise aversion and the other dog does not. And over time, the normal dog, the dog that doesn't have noise aversion, may actually learn those noise averse behaviors from the dog that is affected. So there's many different ways that a dog can develop noise aversion, but we're still trying to tease out some of the details.
So it almost seems like having that human baby that can sleep through a heavy metal band performance, those are the kids that can sleep through anything. So hopefully, you know, you have those babies that just that smallest noise wakes them up. It's like, ah, crying baby. So it sounds like with puppies, you should get them familiarized with lots of different noises.
It would depend upon the noise, and I don't really think that we know which noise there is. There was one study that seemed to indicate that one of the noises that dogs may be exposed to early in life that may protect them against getting noise aversion would be like street and traffic noises. However, some folks think that early exposure, there may be a certain time point early in the dog's life that if they're exposed to thunder or other loud noises, that may predispose them. So I'm not sure we can make that distinction quite yet. I think we still need to do a lot of research and investigation.
And that's what internal medicine doctors are for. So thank you for doing this. How common is this? So I know 4th of July is coming up, and when that time of year, it always seems the day before July 3rd, everybody is on the phone wanting tranquilizers because their dogs are so afraid of the fireworks noise. So other than that, how common is it?
So we've actually done several surveys, and it seems that over a third of pet owners will tell us that their dogs suffer from noise phobia or noise aversion. And so it seems like there's a good number of dogs out there that have this problem.
And what are you seeing? So as I mentioned, that some dogs will literally go through plate glass windows, and that seems to be the overt signs. But what are some of maybe the more subtle things that your dog really is saying, I'm not happy?
You hit on a good point there, that there's a range of signs, and some of the subtle ones, which pet owners and just may completely miss, are simple things like the dog may be lip licking and just kind of lifting their lips or yawning. And people may just think, oh, my dog is tired or something like that. But for some dogs, that is a sign that they're anxious and fearful. Some more obvious signs will include barking or pacing, panting, or even hiding. And then you have what you just described, those escape behaviors where the dog will run away or the dog will try to run away, and try to run away will damage property, go through the plate glass window, and actually hurt themselves because they're so full of fear and anxiety that they're just trying to escape the noise.
You know, speaking of noises, so we definitely think of fireworks. You know, it's loud, it's once a year. And what are some of the other sounds? Because, yes, there are some areas, Southern California where I am, is not one of them, but you can get lightning storms.
Right. And so fireworks is a big one. And you mentioned from your perspective that the July 3rd is a really busy day in your clinic because everybody wants something to help treat their dogs that have noise aversion. Well, for the shelter's perspective, July 5th is the busiest day for them for as far as intakes because of all these dogs that have run away, or even in some cases that, depending upon the dog signs, it may be the last straw for the pet owner, and they actually surrender their dog on July 5th. So fireworks is a huge trigger, but other triggers are thunder. We mentioned before street and traffic noises. Construction sounds can really cause dogs to have problems. And then there may be some internal noises, some inside noises, such as I heard a story once about a pet owner that they knew their dog had noise aversion, and one day the dog was acting like it typically would for the noise aversion. It was pacing, and it was, you know, very restless and looking around, what they call hypervigilant, kind of looking everywhere. And they couldn't figure out what the trigger was and until they went down in their basement, and one of their fire alarms, the battery had run low, and so it was just beeping. And like you mentioned early in the broadcast, that dogs have a really acute sense of hearing. The pet owner couldn't hear that up on the first floor, but certainly that was enough to trigger the dog. And until they could fix that, the dog kept just showing signs of noise aversion. So there's a lot of different triggers, and for some dogs, it may be multiple sounds.
I wonder if newborn babies crying will set some of these dogs off too. That is a sound that can put a lot of owners, mothers and fathers on edge, like, oh my goodness, baby, please stop.
Right. And again, that would be one of those things that maybe early exposure to that sound would protect the dog from having noise aversion to it. But if it's exposed to that sound later in life, that might be what then becomes a trigger. And I actually have a friend that has a dog that children's noises, because she doesn't have children, children's noises really trigger her dog to be very anxious and fearful.
Dr. Campbell, it almost seems like dogs can grow into this noise aversion. Because I remember I had a black lab, and as a pup hiking in our local hills, there's areas where people can legally go ahead and do some target shooting. And my dog was drawn, kept pulling me into this one direction. It's like, what are you doing? Where do you want to go? And he was just fascinated by the sound of these guns going off. And then when he was older, fireworks never seemed to bother him. And then I remembered when he was older, it's like, what happened to Durham? I couldn't find him one 4th of July. And then finally found him in my closet, way in the back, just kind of trembling and shivering. It's like, what's wrong? And then I realized, oh, it was the fireworks that were setting him off. Is this something that can happen to other dogs too, or am I just crazy?
No, I think what we see is there is a progression over time. And so some of those subtle signs, such as lip licking and yawning, or, you know, the dog is just panting, may be missed early on, but if they're not treated, they actually will progress over time, either to cause the other noises that will trigger the noise aversion, or the signs will progress to something that you barely recognize to then, you know, hiding in the closet as you describe. Another way that it can progress is that they can start developing anxieties to other things. So separation anxiety and noise aversion quite commonly occur together, with noise aversion sometimes being the first anxiety that the dog develops. And then shortly after that, or sometime after that, the dog then associates that with separation anxiety. So it can progress over time. So no, you're not crazy. That's probably exactly what happened with your dog.
I just wasn't astute enough to catch the early signs. Right now, mentioned that so many people call me on July 3rd. 4th of July is coming, and I need something to calm this dog down. Right now, it seems like the most common treatment is giving a sedative. What other options are there, and how effective do they seem to be?
Right. So there's a lot of different things that people can use. One of the big things is environmental controls and providing the pet with a safe haven. So in your situation where your dog hid in the back of the closet, maybe that's where that dog feels most safe. And so putting a bed back there, actually giving the dog treats in that area when there is no noise, so they can associate that with self, with a safe place to hide, will help, but it's not going to completely cure. Some of the other medications, such as sprays and homeopathics, really have been, people use them because they don't hurt the dog, but there's not a lot of evidence to show that they're going to be effective for every dog. And so efficacy in some of these different treatment options can be very variable. And I think one of the other things that we do see is the side effects, which you mentioned, is they can become sedated with these drugs. And, you know, maybe it does relieve the dog of the signs, but it certainly doesn't allow the dog to have a normal life during the noise event, because now instead of being hyperactive, they're sedated, and some of these sedatives can last for a pretty long period of time. So it may be up until now what we've had to work with, but in many cases has not been ideal.
And sometimes you need to really start so far ahead of the incidents in order to get on top of it. And you're right, you know, with the sedatives that we have available, every animal responds differently. Like you and I do a glass of wine, you may be on top of the table dancing after a bottle, and I'm going to be under it sleeping. With dogs, I know that there are other like garments that they can wear, these shirts that kind of give them a whole body snug. But for people that seem to live in areas where there's thunder all the time, it's like, this little dog is going to have to be wearing these clothes 24/7, because you never know when that thunderstorm is going to be coming up. So there's that. There's desensitization. Could you kind of address desensitization of how that works and what somebody would need to do?
So yeah, desensitization is one of those behavior modification techniques that people can use to help their dog start becoming less reactive to the noise. And typically what they do is start with a very, very low version of that sound that the dog doesn't react to, and just work with that dog normally. Feed the dog, play with the dog during that really, really quiet version of the sound. And then when the dog shows that they don't mind that level of the sound, then they can increase the noise to a little bit louder noise and continue to try to play with them and be with them in a normal way. And then once they get to that level, then they can increase the noise a little bit more. And so in some cases, it can be very effective, but it is very time-consuming. And in some cases, it may not be the only thing that's going to help that those dogs get over that noise aversion.
We've been teasing that there is a new medication available. What is it, right before we go into break? Give them a short little background as to what it is.
So the name of the drug is Sileo, and it is the first and only FDA-approved treatment for noise aversion in dogs.
It's amazing that there's something. Now, tell us the high points of this medication, because it's a medication we can talk about that veterinarians are using right now, but being used in a very different manner.
Right. So what's really nice about how Sileo was developed is that the timing of giving the medication can be tailored to a specific situation. So in some situations where you know that the noise is going to occur, and a good example of that might be the 4th of July, or you know the city is going to start their fireworks at dusk, you can actually give Sileo 30 to 60 minutes before the noise event to get that on board, and we call that preemptive treatment. You're getting the drug on board before the actual noise event occurs. But let's still stick with the 4th of July, even though the city is going to do their fireworks at dusk. You have kids in the neighborhood that are setting off firecrackers. You might have your neighbor that wants to do their own fireworks. And so for a dog, the 4th of July is a day full of noise that causes him fear and anxiety. So what another way that you can administer Sileo is by giving the drug at the time that the dog first starts to show noise, as well as at the time that maybe you first hear the noise. So it's very flexible in how you can treat it. You don't have to give it hours and hours before like some of the other medications. You can really give it specifically when the dog needs it.
Well, what we need to do right now is take a short break. I'm chatting with Dr. Sharon Campbell. She is a diplomate of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine and one of the technical veterinarians for Zoetis. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Well, she's sitting curled up on my lap as we speak. Beautiful Bella's my long-haired Dachshund. She was thrown out of a pickup truck going 30 miles an hour, and she disappeared into the woods with the wild animals, boars and coyotes. About 4 weeks later, she just appeared and she was a mess. Her fur was matted. She scratched almost nonstop. My friend suggested that I order this stuff called Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
She gobbles it up. She has been itch-free ever since, and her fur is gorgeous. Anyone out there who has a rescue dog, start them on a Dinovite diet for at least a 90-day period. They bond better with the people who take good care of them. They are going to be your buddy for a very, very long time.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio Talk and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Campbell, I love the thought of this medication. It's honestly one I have not tried yet. We've ordered it. We have it at the office. And I know with the 4th of July coming up, it's something that's going to be flying off our shelves. What I love about this is that we also have boarding at my facility. And July 3rd, the place fills up with all these animals coming in because people don't want to have them at home because they're afraid of how they're going to react, thinking, okay, we'll put them in a nice, safe, secure facility, our hospital. There's still fireworks to go around, and it's sad because people don't have their dogs with them. And it's so nice to have your dog there when you have a party or do whatever, and you know he can really get into the fun of this. And Celio seems to be a medication that can really keep that human-animal bond going better at home.
Yes, it would be ideal to use in that situation because one of the things that we see is that with Celio, it actually works on a number of different levels that makes it different from some of the other treatments. And so the first, as we had talked about earlier, is that oftentimes some of these options, treatment options that are being were being used before Celio was approved by the FDA were either ineffective or to make them effective, they had to be used with other treatment modalities. Celio has actually been shown to be effective without the need for other medications or other types of training, such as behavior modification. Additionally, the calming effects of Celio are not due to sedation. In other words, although the dogs are calm, typically they're not drowsy or sleepy, and they can go and do normal things, such as play and eat, and be with their pet owners without having those noise aversion behaviors, but still acting normally during that noise event.
In giving medication, I had a little dog, Juanita. She was the cutest thing in the whole world and just sweet and lovey, and try to give her a pill is like, this wasn't going to happen. I'm going, I'm a veterinarian. I can't even get a pill into my own dog. A lot of people may be listening to this going, Celio sounds marvelous, but medicating my dog is just something I'm averse to. How is Celio administered?
So Celio actually has a unique route of administration. It's not given like a pill for the dog to swallow. In fact, if Celio is swallowed, it will be less effective because it's not really well absorbed from the GI tract. How Celio is absorbed is it comes in a syringe, a needleless syringe, that then the syringe is placed between the cheek and the gum of the upper part of the mouth, and the dose is delivered. And what we're doing there is a gel formulation. The gel allows Celio to stick to the gums, and it's actually absorbed through the tissues in the mouth. So that's a completely unique way of administering the drug than what pet owners are typically used to.
And getting a little syringe in that area, that seems like that would be so easy to do. The syringe itself, I have a lot of owners that are seniors and their eyesight's not the best, little arthritis in their hands, trying to use a syringe is like, oh, am I going to be giving too much, too little? How easy is it for a pet owner to use the syringe?
Well, that's a very good question, and we actually evaluated that in a recent study just to see how easy it was for pet owners to use the syringe. In this study, they actually received instructions from their veterinarian and then showed the veterinarian how well they could follow those instructions. And 90% of the pet owners found that the syringe was easy or very easy to use. So I think that most pet owners will find it easy to use. It's not really a technical situation.
Oh, good. And how fast does it work? Because, all right, we've been talking about 4th of July and the fireworks. You know, your city is going to be sending off those fireworks at 7 o'clock in the evening. But now all of a sudden there's thunder or there's construction. You didn't expect that to happen and you know, my dog's going to go crazy. How quickly does it work?
So Celio works within about 30 to 60 minutes. So it works fairly rapidly. That's why you can give it at the time of the noise event, because it gets absorbed pretty fast and it works pretty rapidly.
That's marvelous. But how long does it last? Because you never know with the construction work outside or that crying baby, is that colic going to get under control quickly or are we in for a long one?
Right. The duration of effect of Celio is about 2 to 3 hours. And in the situation that you talk about, if the noise event lasts more than 2 to 3 hours, then you can actually give another dose. some of the caveats around that are that it should be a minimum of 2 hours before you give the next dose, because you don't want to give one dose on top of the other. That's really not necessary. And then the other caveat is that you really need to make sure that the dog needs another dose. So you should wait to see if the noise is continuing and the dog signs of noise aversion reappear. That's when you can give the next dose.
So wait until all of a sudden it seems a little bit anxious, or it's licking its lips, or it's just becoming a bit frantic. So don't do it too early. I like that.
Right, exactly. Make sure the dog does need another dose, because for a number of noise events, that 2 to 3 hours of duration of treatment is going to be sufficient. In other situations, if the noise reoccurs or continues, then they may need another dose. But you really need to wait to see if the dog truly needs to have another dose.
When I first learned of Celio and looking at, oh, what is this new drug? It has to be something I've never heard of, because, you know, this is just so different. And then seeing what the active ingredient is, like, wait a minute, I use this medication, Dextomator, several times every day at my practice for usually intravenous sedation of dogs. That is wonderful, and cats too, because it's reversible. So first, tell us about what is Dextomator and how did you come up with using it in this very novel way?
Okay. So as you mentioned, Dextomator is a drug that's used very often in most veterinary clinics as a sedative. Its active ingredient is dexmedetomidine hydrochloride, a very big word, but it's a drug that's been around for many, many years. Dextomator, as you mentioned, is administered by injection at the veterinary clinic at various doses, because we do know that it has a pretty strong dose-related effect. And so at low doses, you'll have a mild degree of sedation, and at higher doses, you'll have a more heavy or moderate degree of sedation. Celio was actually developed in Finland by a company called Orion, and it was because one of the Orion colleagues had a neighbor next door to her that was frantic because her dog was having noise aversion on New Year's Eve, and she was trying to have a party, and she was just beside herself with what she could do about this. And so this particular veterinarian that worked for Orion went into the office the next business day and said, I've got an idea. Why don't we take Dextomator, put it in a gel formulation that pet owners can administer at home, and we would give them a very low dose, and I think it may help these dogs with noise aversion. And so from that one dog that needed a treatment for noise aversion came the whole development process of Celio. How Celio is actually different than Dextomator is by the route of administration. So it has the same active ingredient, but because you give it in the mouth so it can be absorbed through the tissues in the mouth, you actually get the dose that's actually absorbed is only about a quarter of the total dose that you absorb. And so there's a very low dose of dexmedetomidine that's in the body. And again, because it's a very dose-dependent drug, this very low dose causes the dogs to be calm. But typically, we do not see sedation. And that is very different, and it's going to be something that we reiterate with veterinarians that are used to using Dextomator, that because of the route of administration, you're going to get that very, very low dose, which calms the dogs, but we typically don't see sedation with that.
I think it's going to be fascinating for veterinarians as we get used to this new medication, and pet owners too. We're so used to seeing that sedated dog, the third eyelids coming up, looking like the dog has had about two martinis too many and is kind of wobbly on its feet, to now going, huh, is this actually working? Because I don't see anything. Is that something that's difficult, have you found, for veterinarians and pet owners to say, yep, it's working, because they're not seeing anything overtly?
Yes, and so we have a couple of different pieces of data that we can deduce that from. And so in the large clinical study that was done to get approval, we found that the efficacy of Celio was completely independent of sedation. These dogs were definitely calm, but they were not sedated. They were interacting normally with their pet owners. They came when they called. They could play with them. they could eat, they could do all of their normal things. Now, again, it just recently has been approved in the U.S., and so from our preliminary data that we're getting back is that in dogs that it's working in the dogs that have received it, the pet owners are very happy with the results because what they're seeing is the dog's signs of noise aversion have been alleviated, and yet the dog still can interact normally with the family. They are not sedated. So, again, as we get it in the general population of pets, we will continue to collect the data, but early indications are that it's working much differently than some of the other medications that veterinarians are typically prescribing for pet owners for noise aversion.
Dr. Campbell, on a simplistic level, the neuropharmacology of Cilio, what is it doing in the brain?
So on a very simple level, what it's doing, Cilio, dexmedetomidine, the active ingredient, is actually inhibiting the release of norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is a neurotransmitter, or in other words, a chemical in the brain that is associated with fear and anxiety. And so how Cilio helps dogs with noise aversion is that by inhibiting the release of norepinephrine, they actually reduce the response to fear and anxiety, and that results in a decrease or an alleviation of the signs of noise aversion.
Sounds marvelous. Every medication can have some type of side effect. What could be some potential adverse side effects for a dog treated with Cilio?
Right. Again, because it's a very low dose of dexmedetomidine that the dogs actually receive with Dextromethor, the adverse events that we saw were very mild and very few. The most common adverse event was vomiting, and we saw that in about 4% of the dogs that received Cilio, but we also saw it in about 1% of the dogs that received the placebo. The placebo would have been a gel, very similar to Cilio, but it didn't have the active ingredient in it. The other side effect that we saw in 1% of the dogs, 1% of the dogs report, actually it was one dog, reported sedation and drowsiness as an adverse event.
That's very, very low numbers. I think if anyone were to look at the PDR physician's desk reference and look at various medications, what I always kind of tell clients about is Valium. You know, we all think of a person or a pet getting some Valium, it's going to be sedating. And then there are some dogs and some people that become hyperactive. So knowing that 1%, that one dog that became a little bit sedate, that sounds like pretty good numbers to me. Now, this medication being a transmucosal, so a gel that you put in the mouth and absorb that way. People having children at home going, ooh, what's this? Are there any health concerns, precautions that we need to have people take?
Yes, they're actually, the recommendation is that when people are dispensing Cilio, that they wear impermeable disposable gloves. And the reason for this is that although Cilio cannot be absorbed through intact skin, if you have a cut or if you have a rash, Cilio can be absorbed into the skin. It typically would take a very high dose of high exposure of Cilio to cause any type of reaction in an adult human. But what we do want people to do is to be safe. And so when they're administering Cilio, when they're handling the syringe, and even immediately after giving Cilio, if they're touching the dog's mouth, we would like to have them wear impermeable gloves to just prevent any type of exposure to the human.
Now, Cilio sounds fabulous. You have a pet that is very thunder responsive, live in an area where, boy, it can be months that these thunderstorms can come up. Do I have to go back to my veterinarian, you know, like once a month to get a supply, or can I start off with a fairly high supply and just going, this is enough to get me through the season? What's a shelf life like for Cilio?
Sure. So there's two different type of shelf life that we need to talk about. The first is the unopened carton. The shelf life for the unopened carton is about 2 years, and there will be an actual expiration date on the side of the carton. The other shelf life that we need to talk about is the shelf life after first use, and we call that the in-use shelf life. For Cilio, after the first use, it's really important for the pet owner to put the syringe back into the carton that it came in because of the fact that Cilio is light sensitive, and so we need to protect it from light. And so the remaining portion of Cilio, once it's in that carton after first use, will then be good for 2 weeks.
Oh, fabulous. So they can use it as they need it as that season goes on and probably talk to their veterinarian of how much they should have at home at any particular time. Great. Are there any dogs that can't use Celio?
Yes. So dexmedetomidine, again, we know that drug very well. And so the dogs that shouldn't get Celio are the same dogs that shouldn't get dexmedetomidine. And those would be, first of all, dogs that are hypersensitive to dexmedetomidine, but also any dog that has severe cardiovascular, respiratory, any severe kidney or liver disease, and any dog that has any type of hypotension or, you know, really severe underlying diseases should not receive Celio.
How about pregnant animals or ones that are lactating or nursing pups?
Right. So we have not studied it in pregnant or lactating animals, and so we put that down as a precaution because it's not been evaluated in those dogs, and so we don't really know what would happen, but we've not evaluated in the dogs, so it's a precaution for you not to use it in those dogs.
A lot of people are listening who have cats going, all right, seems like my cat might get a little bit nervous. You know, if there's even my own cats, if there's a doorbell, poof, they go running. But fireworks, yeah, they pick up their ears and they oftentimes start wanting to hide and find those little dark hidden places. Can you use this in cats?
We don't have any data to show how it can be used in cats, so we wouldn't know how to recommend the dosing or the timing. So, unfortunately, we don't know how a cat would respond to Celio.
And the last very important question, where can they get this? I know people want to go to the internet and see if they can find it someplace with Dr. Google. Where do they get this medication?
So, Celio is available as a prescription through your veterinarian. And what I would recommend is that owners of dogs with noise aversion consult their veterinarians to see if Celio is the right medication for their dog.
Thank you. Well, it sounds as though there are a lot of dogs that could really benefit from a medication like Celio. Dr. Campbell, totally appreciate you being with us today, telling us about noise aversion, medications that can be used like Celio that are so different, very safe, and sounds very effective. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Dr. Campbell, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Please listen again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.